we are very much products of our parents, and we emulate what we have seen when we were growing up. And I always watched my parents giving of their time, talent, and treasure all of the time. It was just a part of the fabric of who they were. When you are in front of younger people who are in the MBA and executive MBA programs at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management, how do they view good stewardship? And how do they react when you teach them about good stewardship?
You know, it's a great question. What I find fascinating is with all of the issues that sometimes we talk about the younger generations, I think they are very, very attuned to really making a difference. And bad to generalize, but I think in some of our generations, there was a view of, hey, I really need to be helping other people. But first, I've got to get settled. You know, I've got to get settled. You know, I've got to get a house and a car. And later in my life, I'm going to really focus on that. And what I notice with younger people, not just MBA students, but younger, you know, college students, even high school students, it's, wait a minute, why would I wait till later? I don't know how much time I have, and I can start to make a difference now. I don't need to wait till I'm 40 or 50 or 60 years old. And this idea of how much time do I have, treasure, talents, why don't I get started now? Because I'm not so sure I even need a lot of these material things. You know, you think of the number of younger people now that are either not buying houses or, you know, geez, I don't know if I need a car. I can get an Uber or a Lyft take a train. And so this they're much more focused on experiences, you know, traveling. But this whole idea of, hey, can I make a difference earlier? The number of students that I see that are getting involved in nonprofits, either on the boards or soup kitchens, or helping teach. So I get very excited about the fact that I think more and more people realize I should be doing something that's with the time I have now, rather than talking about what I'm going to do in the future.
You have put the number 168 right in the foreground of all of our lives, Harry Kramer, 168 hours, the gift of time that God gives us in every week. When you talk about that 168 hours again before these young people, how do they value their time? Do they look up from their smartphones when you're telling them that?
Well, I have to tell you, and you guys ask such great questions because they realize they want to make a difference. They realize that. And the only question they have is, well, how much time can I spend? And when somebody says to me, or a friend even says to me, well, I don't know if I have the time, I always explain to them, as you said, you have the time. You got 168 hours, okay? So it really is a question of what's your priorities? What's your priorities? And have you literally taken the time to figure out what the trade-offs are? You know, because, yes, you only have a certain amount of money, but, you know, when you talk about treasure and somebody says to me, well, you know, I'd like to donate, but I don't know if I have the money. Well, you know, take any simple example. If one student was telling me the other day, by not going to Starbucks and making your own coffee, okay, and you do that for a year, that's like $1,200. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, think about what you can do for Relevant Radio. That's $100 a month. But again, everybody has to think about what are their priorities, what can I do differently, and how do I use my 168 hours, whether it is where you spend your time, what are the things that God has given you as particular talents you can share, and, you know, how much of what you got financially, does it really make sense that, yes, there are maybe a lot of people who really need it a lot more than you, and what is God asking you to do?
Harry, as you teach smart young students management, does it give you great hope that it doesn't seem to be only a race to the biggest bank account, but that idea of, hey, how can we do some good and important things while we're still young? Does that give you a little more hope that there might be a little change in direction for things?
I really do. I really do. And I think a lot of it is as more and more young people, you know, really are almost teaching us as older people about, you know, what's happening with the climate, what's happening with things that, is that really even debatable when you take a look at what's happening around the world and, you know, with up in the Arctic Circle and so on, and look at the water levels and look at the, and I think there's this view of, hey, how much stuff do I really need? All right. How much stuff do I really need? And it does go back to something I mentioned to the students that I learned from my father, actually, that, he would literally tell me sometimes, he'd say, have you ever seen a hearse with a U-Haul it going to a cemetery? And I'd say, Dad, what are you talking about? And he'd say, Harry, an awful lot of these people, they're collecting all of this stuff. He said, Harry, they must either believe it's going with them when they die, or they're going to live forever. Because if you realize you can't take all this stuff with you and you can't live forever, but maybe it makes sense to share it. And maybe that's what Christ's asking us to do. So it's the little things of and when you and I talk about prayer and self-reflection, it's literally taking the time to think about, slow down enough to ask, what's the race? Where are you going? How much money do you need? What is God asking you as to how you could share it? And again, it does, as you said, it comes down to all three things. But the time piece, I've mentioned all the time, is simple things that you wouldn't even think about. And in our parish in Wilmette, Illinois, you know, Father Wayne Watts said, hey, with the COVID, I'd really appreciate it if the high school students could take some time in their day, in their evening, and to call some of our senior citizens that are worried, they can't get out of their house, just to say hello. You know, maybe you could help deliver, pick up some packages for them, but literally just saying hello. And it made an enormous difference to my high school son and to others. And the letters that the senior citizens would be writing to Father Wayne or to the parents, it was remarkable. And it was just something of taking the time to make a difference and realize, yes, you may be inconvenienced right now. Yes, as a young person, you know, you wish you could go to the movies. But as I tell my children, if the worst case is you can't go to the movies, that's sort of a first world problem. I mean, there's a lot of people with a bigger problem right now than that. And how are you spending your time?
Harry, thinking about this in terms of time, especially at the parish level, when we're certainly coming out of COVID, there's some challenges there too. But for thinking of stewardship in terms of equally sharing our time and talent as much as our treasure too, as we try and rebuild some of the volunteer ministries, any advice you can give to people about the benefits of actually sharing our time and talent as much as our treasure?
You know, that is such a great example. You know, when I think at my parish, with all the things that need to be done, you know, cleaned up, making sure we can only have so many people at the masses, and all of the volunteers with the charts, the seating charts, the names, checking and so on. And again, I find it remarkable the number of people that have said, yeah, I'm kind of busy, but you know what? Isn't that exactly what God would be asking me to do? And what I find interesting is they feel really fulfilled because they realize they're making a difference. And I think the challenge on this one is, and I'm sure it's true for a lot of our listeners, we realize, yes, boy, the Father really could use some help given all the things that need to get done. Somebody's got to do that. And as we always tease, it's like, well, who's going to do it? Well, there's this famous group of people we usually all rely on called those guys, right? Those men and women, somebody else. And maybe that realization, you know, as a Catholic, when there's an issue, when there's a challenge, I am one of those guys. Because if I'm not one of the men or women who's going to do it, well, who is? Who is? And I think so many people often, if they don't take the time to reflect, if they don't take the time to pray, I think there's a natural reaction of, well, there'll be somebody else that'll do it. And of course, if somebody else says somebody else is going to do it, there's nobody doing it.